Please be seated. Thank you. It's fantastic to be with you here this morning. I thank you for giving me a bit of space to talk about something I'm very passionate about. I was asked to speak about the community youth work that we do as a parish. And I've also been around to the other churches in the parish over the last few weeks. I wonder what you would say if I asked you two questions this morning. Firstly, what is poverty and what is your experience of it? And secondly, what would it look like to actually see God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven? Poverty. We often think about poverty as a lack of substance and practical needs like food, shelter, water. But we have lots of needs. The need to be loved, to belong, to feel valued, to have freedom, and to reach our full potential. Poverty, I've recently realized, is a lack of any one of those needs. But although I grew up in India and Pakistan, and I visited Cape Town and Cameroon, and experienced practical poverty all over the world, I have also seen a lot of poverty right here in leafy Sussex. Young people who have extremely difficult lives, both at home and at school, sometimes through their own or their parents' wrong choices, but also circumstances often beyond their control that have affected them, and sadly sometimes tragedy. Spending time in the community, I've often walked away and cried as I leave from talks with one-to-one with young people or in groups about their lives and about the feelings they experience. What must it be like to be in their position, living their life? Is it any wonder they lose strength to keep going, an interest in school, hope of success, and end up sometimes feeling very lost? Poverty is a lack of love, a sense of belonging, feeling valued, having no freedom, and the hope, and having no hope to achieve. In 2008, my heart was literally broken to work with young people in these situations, to be able to show them we care, how valuable they are to us, to support them and to give them hope. These young people often have little support from family, let alone a church family or someone who's just there to listen that's outside of their situation. I'd like to share a very simple but a life-changing moment in my life. On a sabbatical trip in 2008, during a preparation trip for Cape Town, I was sitting in the eaves of the warehouse with a very tin roof and a storm that was going on outside. I'd been on a tour in the morning of Manenberg with some high-risk youth workers in the township, working to show love to the gang young people in Manenberg. And I was just reflecting on my morning with my paperwork, and I became aware of a drip on my desk coming from a hole in the tin roof. At first I ignored it, and I turned to the people around me. Is this normal? Yeah, don't worry about it, it's fine. But it turned into a stream of water that started to affect me and all my paperwork. I reached for a tin bucket, and I was then even more aware of a constant drip, drip, drip falling through the gaps in the roof. I really sensed in that simple moment that the Lord was calling me and making me aware of the young people in our society who, like those individual drops, were falling through the gaps in our society. My heart had been broken for what I'd seen in Cape Town, but also subsequently here. It was like my blinkers had been taken off and the scales from my eyes had dropped, and I suddenly noticed just how much need there was right here in our own town, right under my own nose for years. Young people in our town sometimes just don't feel a valuable part of our community. Sadly, like the drips, we don't notice them until they're affecting us sometimes. In preparation for this tour of talks, and I've been covering some of the lectionary readings over the last few weeks, just asking God, what is it that you want me to share? The Psalms that I've been led to talk of how all creation should praise the Lord. Sun, moon, stars, they all point to him. In Acts, it talks about how Peter went to Jerusalem to work with the uncircumcised, and he was criticized for doing that. But in defending himself, he shared his vision of how the Spirit had told him to go. During the St. John's Church week, we talked about Pentecost and Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost, wind, tongues of fire resting on each person, young or old, dreams, visions, prophecy, men and women. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And also within that week, the Archbishop called us to pray and to consider God's kingdom come and our part. What was our part within it? Which was already what I was asked to sort of thinking about, speaking about. And I love it when God does that. Revelation, John speaks of another vision, a new Jerusalem, and how God is and would live with them. How God himself would wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'd be no more death, mourning, crying and pain. Then there's been a lot over the last few weeks about loving one another. Jesus commands us to love one another. In Samuel, it talked about King David wasn't perfect, but like us and our young people, he made wrong choices and he faced the consequences. Psalm 32, David speaks of how God dealt with him. He was still David's hiding place, his counselor, his unfailing love. David again in Psalm 16, today's readings, refers to the Lord who counsels him even at night. His heart instructs him. The passages over the last few weeks have also taught how are we called, we are called to follow Jesus, to do what he is doing. Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Galatians today speaks of how Christ has made us free. We need to use that freedom to serve each other through love. Law fulfilled in love. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in Kings, the Lord appears and tells Elijah what to do, and Elijah goes. Elisha then follows him, wraps up his life, and follows. And then in Luke, when the Samaritan village rejects Jesus, the disciples are upset and want to destroy them. But Jesus rebukes those disciples and he says, he has not come to destroy, but to save them. Evil is overcome not with evil, but with good. The passage talks about the cost of discipleship, 100% commitment to follow the Lord. And finally, I've had passages that have taught that we should do all that we do led by the Spirit as children of God and the Spirit of sonship, not fear. So today I just wanted to praise the Lord for all the work that's been done for the young people in our churches, but also in our community. We've tried to discern along the way what God is doing and putting ourselves in a place of sonship and not of fear. I often feel that I'm outside of my comfort zone. I want to show that young people love and grace despite bad choices and to help them to face their consequences, to wipe the tears from their eyes. I wanted to share my own very simple picture of wish and vision of how the Holy Spirit called me, and I believe calls us all, to go out into the community and help our young people. And then I wanted to challenge you. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to each person. He's available to each individual, young or old, men or women. The challenge is, are we expecting of that? Are we expecting that God will use us? And then I wanted to share how I believe we, through him, can enable his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. How we can dwell with our young people and show his love to the young people in the church and community, confirming that if we know the Father and are in line with his will, just like creation, we will point to him. Just remind you of that second question. What would it look like to actually see his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? I believe the answer is that it would look like that new Jerusalem that John speaks about in Revelation 21. And an aligning passage, Isaiah 65, a place of joy and peace. A community of people of Christ where God dwells amongst his people. Just as he came to became flesh and dwelt among us and wiped away our tears from our eyes, we too must dwell more closely with those in our community. We are the community of Christ to them. His kingdom is a place of grace. None of us are perfect, but God loves, protects, and forgives. If we're to see and enable his kingdom on earth, we need to show the same love and grace of God to all people, protecting, not judging or destroying them, but overcoming evil with good and giving 100%. I wonder what God is calling you to do in response to his words this morning. It may or it may not be community youth work. But Revelation 21, are we a church who will be a beautifully dressed bride for him when he comes back? A church who actively enables signs of his kingdom to be seen on earth as it is in heaven. A church who points to him. If we are, we need to do as Jesus did, to show his love to others, to meet their needs and their areas of poverty, whatever it is and whoever they are. Or it might be something more specific. It might be that you would be interested in hearing more about helping with the community young people. I'd love to see you afterwards if you would. There is support and training given for all the aspects of that work, and you'd need to be registered properly, as always. There are several areas of work that we do in the community. Schools work. We do early interventions work in 3 schools, supporting those who are falling through the gap with a 12-week course. We do one-to-one mentoring, working with young people to support them through all the tough times and to help them to reach their full potential. And then other aspects of the community, we do a detached work where we go around the parks and the schools, multi-agency detached youth work as part of the youth support team, showing and being God's presence in our community. And finally, the YMCA. There's a chaplaincy team, of which I'm just a part, who also work with the young people at the YMCA. And there are opportunities, if you run a business, to offer the YMCA a place where they can come and put a young person that can gain work experience. Or there's trustees' needs at the YMCA. Or you could just share your skills of cooking, of life skills, of art or craft or sports, whatever it is. There are lots of areas in which the YMCA would love you to help them. There are some ways you could get involved. There's a sign-up sheet I have taken over, I'm afraid, temporarily, for the desk at the back by the door, of more information of how you could find out about any of those areas. There are open evenings on the 4th and the 14th where you can just come and find out with no pressure. There's prayer chains that you can be a part of. It would be great to do that. The YMCA have given us loads of booklets and leaflets for you to take away to pray or to get involved in their work. Or you can speak to people within your congregation, Becky Hawkins, Neil McLaren, or Matt Lee, your very own youth worker, who has done work in the schools as well. So if you want to find out more, those are other ways. To close, I've just asked Jenny Schofield from Holy Trinity Church, who comes in and helps with our early interventions work in Crawley at Holy Trinity School, to talk to us a little bit about how she's got involved.
Thanks, Judy. Good morning. I bumped into Judy in the reception of Holy Trinity School a couple of years ago, and she said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "What are you doing here?" And that was the beginning of my connection with her outreach work at Holy Trinity in Crawley. Many of you will know that Peter and I, for many years, led the youth work at Holy Trinity Church, and so it's always been within my heart to work with these youngsters. So if I can just tell you a little bit about how I believe that this time that we spend each week with these young people provides them with a safe space in which they can explore and come to understand better why they're struggling to engage in school with either their studies or their schooling, and at home as well. And generally these things go hand in hand. They spill over into each area of their life. And we also need to remember that many of them are dealing with some really horrendous situations at home. Things that we couldn't even begin to imagine for some of them. And so the school situation is just one more thing that adds to the pressure. And so, excuse me, through individual and group work, they begin to look at who they are and what their life journey has been up until that point in time. We encourage them to understand that they can have control over their actions and they can take responsibility for their actions, and that they can make good choices and they can make bad choices. They learn listening skills, and they learn that if they want their voice to be heard, then they need to be able to learn to listen to others. If they want their opinions to be valued, then they need to learn to value the opinions of others, including their teachers. We discuss relationships. We talk about how important firm foundations are to relationships, so that in the difficult times, those relationships don't come tumbling down. For many of these young people, it's the first time that anyone has truly heard their voice and valued their opinions, their anxieties, their hopes, and their fears. And hopefully, with them being listened to, they can begin to follow a happier path in school and further on into life. I have to say, I do really enjoy it. Some days we come away thinking, oh no, we don't seem to have done any good. We rarely see huge changes in these children or these young people in the time that we spend with them. However, even at the end of a particularly difficult and challenging session, there will probably be a tiny light that's switched on in the eye of at least one of them, and we know that something has connected and that they, we and the school will hopefully be able to build on that in the future.